Hachoo! Trek in the City is brought...
No, that's I'm not doing that. Treks in the City is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Check out more great podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com. And if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. I did it. It wasn't hard. Just go to Stitcher. Go to... what's that new thing? Is it also Stitcher? Go there and connect with us on Treks Fashion on Twitter and on Instagram. We really love hearing from you, and we'll be posting photos, videos. So posting. So much Ken has posting. Subscribe. 5 stars. Bye.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Welcome. Hey, girls. What's up? It's episode
105.
105 of, oh my God, here we are, episode 105.
Treks in the City.
I am Alice Wetterlin, and this is Veronica.
Veronica Osorio.
Oh, that was nice. Bienvenido.
Thank you.
Gracias. 105. Okay, I bailed real quick on
we'll
that.
We'll be teaching Spanish soon.
Very excited to talk about an episode that is not Code of Honor.
Oh my goodness. Remember that? Last episode?
I do. Poor Jackie Cation. Thanks again, Jackie Cation. Buy her album. It's I'm Not the Hero of This Story, available on the platforms. I'm really excited because... Can we intro the guest before we get into it? Because I'm sure she has opinions.
Yes, please do. Go ahead.
With Code of Honor, we did have to do a little like... It's so racist that we had to do like a beginning apology
before
we intro the guest. This is episode 105. Our guest today is a fabulous comedian and writer. You may know her from media. Christ almighty. I'm one of my very favorite comedians and friends. Welcome, Emily Heller.
Thank you.
Yay!
I preferred your original intro, I'm sure she has opinions, which is definitely not the first time someone has introduced me that way.
I think you have merch that says that.
I'm sure she has opinions.
Bumper sticker. Welcome, Emily. Thanks for driving all the way out to an undisclosed location.
Thank you for having me.
Planet
also,
Highland Park.
Like, what an uncomfortable position that you are in, where you have to apologize for the racism of a TV show that came out 30 years ago.
Welcome to being white feminism in 2017.
Women have found a way to apologize for
everything.
Men's 1980s racism.
We'll find a way. Actually, the racism in that episode is because of a white woman's idea.
Oh, good.
So
we're also bad.
I have nothing to do with this.
Shirking early and often.
Saving my own goddamn self.
Saving it.
Stardate 41386.4.
Episode titled The Last Outpost.
Yes. So,
and they're not talking about that bar in Hollywood where the Waka dodgeball teams hang out.
That's a bar.
That's not where they're talking. They might be. It's a bar. It's called The Outpost.
Shout out. So, you have watched no Star Trek.
This is the only episode of Star Trek I've ever watched.
That's
ever.
Hard to believe.
Movie.
Why?
Because you have geek energy.
Well, okay. I have like geek energy, but not about things that are interesting to geeks,
yeah,
I don't think.
Interesting. Oh. Yeah.
Like I've only seen one. I guess I've seen two Star Wars now.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched...
Which ones?
The first one that was ever made. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be very boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I saw Rogue One because people told me I didn't have to see any other Star Wars to understand that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I went as part of a birthday party.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Rogue One was good.
But like in general, I'm like... Like, I guess I like Harry Potter,
right,
but that's so different.
Do you like fantasy, Twilight Zone?
I've watched a few episodes. I find it honestly too scary.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you'd like Star Trek because as it gets better, and it's not in this episode, but as it does get better in season like maybe four or five.
Three, four.
It's like less scary Twilight Zone, but in space. Yeah. And there are always going to be like fallacies, like logical fallacies and weird things about it that are just 90s and not great.
Yeah.
But there are really interesting, like a lot but of behold, the sci-fi we... themes in a lot of the like movies you'll see now, Arrival, all those, like there's every single one of those stories has a Star Trek TNG counterpart or yeah. original series.
Or for yeah. sure. Yeah. Like the first time it was discussed. Some kind of like media was yeah. definitely Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
The first seasons have a couple of cool, yeah. very like moral debate kind of problems. This one
is a mess.
This one is a mess that I loved so much because it was like a team bonding kind of episode.
Yeah,
like you start seeing traces of beginnings of the relationships that will later come to right. love. I'm still like obsessed with the formation. Right. Of the relationships.
I'm obsessed with formation too. Me but too. A different so good. One. So what was your opinion of this episode, Emily? Do you have a general...
I could not believe when it was over because I felt like absolutely nothing had happened. Here was like, okay, can I give you like my like very inattentive
I'm
summary
putting
of...
putting on my fake glasses for it. Please.
My inattentive summary of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a ship. And there's like some other people that are some kind of threat, and they spend a very long time talking about what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to go to war. Then they go to the planet, and those guys are like, "We're gonna lie about you." And then a guy shows up, and they share a Sun Tzu quote, and then everything's over.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's exactly what happened.
You really don't need to watch. If you want to just listen along, you really don't need to watch.
You should come here and do that for every episode.
I'm wondering if we should start doing what Gilmore Guys did and reading the Netflix summaries of the episode.
Oh,
because that's not a bad idea.
Well, this was like I would say an excellent one. We also have like the fandom wiki.
Yeah, but fuck those guys, right?
Yeah, it's true. Well,
we would like at this point to announce that the channels are open. If you want to start writing in with your corrections of things that women say about Star Trek for us to make fun of, please do so. Oops, I shouldn't have said we're going to make fun of them. We are.
If you have concerns, we're going to take very seriously.
Yeah. Yes. If you have any issues with things that we've, and we just really want to be like fair to the fans, just take everything, you know, because obviously it's a show for the fans.
And we're fans, but we don't care about fans.
We do care. All right. While in pursuit, this is a Netflix summary of Number 4, The Last Outpost. Ooh. Number 4? Are we on episode? Oh, I get it, because episode button.
Netflix did that thing.
While in pursuit of a mysterious race known as the Ferengi, the Enterprise suffers a sudden power failure.
I mean,
and so does the writing staff, apparently, because
eventually
this was a pile of garbage.
Well, yes, but there's so much gold in here if you point out specific moments. Mm.
So in this episode, unlike other episodes we've seen so far, is Troy is constantly being like they don't know how to write. You can talk to this more.
Well, I've been I'm on a mission of redeeming Troy because a lot
to
of
go where no man has gone before.
No man. Has gone ever before, because when I was watching Star Trek for the first time, Star Trek, it was like 2012, and I happened to like talk to some fans. Obviously I'm in the comedy world, so there are a lot of
the best kind of Star Trek fans.
Yeah, those people, they're there. So someone was like, yeah, I hated Troy, and I was like, why? And they're like, yeah, well, he's the worst character, it never helps, like it doesn't, some, it was like shitting on her. What did he do?
I accidentally touched Emily with my toe.
Oh, I thought that was the cat.
No. Be gentle.
Oh, yeah.
It was gentle.
I was excited.
It was gentle.
Then good.
Yeah.
So Troy.
So they don't like her because she doesn't help?
Well, usually what the writers is like they take her out of episodes where she could figure out the problem easily with her skills. Or they have her state the obvious. Like the guy gets frozen and then she goes, he's frozen.
So it's like Jackie pointed out, she's like Superman. She's too powerful. Like her actual superpowers are too helpful. So like it's hard to write for her because they don't know, you know, so
like every
it's
man.
Like the,
so she just stands around. Sometimes she's kind of sick and she can't really help out. Or sometimes she's kind of like, you know, just gets too emotional, you know, because she's like, I've opened my mind.
So I have to put her on her period to take her.
Almost.
Have you seen that Mitchell and Webb sketch? Angel Summoner and the BMX Bandit.
Yes.
So she's Angel Summoner.
She's Angel Summoner.
So the premise of the sketch is just that there's like a crime fighting duo called, I think it's Angel Summoner and the BMX
Bandit.
And the BMX Bandit is just good at doing BMX.
Really?
Angel Summoner can summon angels.
A horde of angels.
So anytime they have a problem, the BMX bandit's like, I'll just ride my BMX in there. And he's like, or I could just summon the angels and they'll just
take care of it
with magic.
So, the BMX bandit always feels like really
useless
and insecure.
Emasculated.
So
yeah.
So
Troy finally in this episode, she says, so she gives beautiful advice. Troy gives beautiful advice. Yes. Because, they're trying to figure out what to do with the Ferengi. And because they are thinking, so in this episode, they're basically pursuing a Ferengi ship. We don't know anything about them, but they're going to soon become one of the main
close buds. So they're pursuing buds. Them. Why though? Is it because they stole something?
A T9 energy converter from one of the planet they had.
Rascals.
Those rascals.
See, this was the part of the episode that I was like, I cannot follow this.
It was really it was confusing for me.
It doesn't matter.
Like hardcore TNG nerd, I was like, what details matter
so
here?
Complicated.
It doesn't seem like any.
Why?
You know those languages where there's no emphasis on any syllable, or there's emphasis on all syllables, and so you're like, what is important here? It's really
this is just an excuse to like go after this Ferengi ship, and so they are not responding to the hailing, and Troy is like, maybe we're not saying anything they want to hear.
Yeah,
and
which
that
is very
was like,
flirty and also true.
Yeah, very good
all around.
And
then no one did anything with that advice, really. They were just like, whoa, that is true.
Well, Picard was like, we give up.
And then just didn't do anything about it.
So
she was like, Troy out. And they're like, great, because we're not going to use you.
Use her the rest of the episode. It was nice how they got rid of her immediately.
Well, but then she does come in with a phaser and is like, stop right there.
Oh, that's Tasha Yar.
That's Tasha Yar. You got
oh,
your,
wait. I, yeah. Oh, okay.
She's,
I don't know which one's which,
She has
which,
short
then.
Blonde hair.
The blonde
oh,
hair.
Oh, that's
Troy
the blonde
has
hair.
The
whole
black
time
hair.
I've been picturing the...
Oh, the...
Yeah. No, Troy's the one who's like, Captain.
I'm wearing a different costume.
She's the one who seemed like she's from an ASMR video
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yes.
Where I was like, yes.
But are ASMR videos actually from Troy?
Great question.
That. It's not a great.
I just feel like a lot of ASMRists, as they're called.
As they're called. They are called.
Are kind of doing an impression of her with just sort of like the jangly jewelry and the like light accent.
You're
and
right.
The,
yeah. She would be an excellent ASMRist.
Yeah.
Troy, Marina, if you're out there, you're looking for stuff to do, you're bored. You're, you know, you've shopped for all your high boots.
Different kind of group of nerds you could get in on.
I'm sure she's like, oh, I'm kind of over nerds. All right. So we get the first moment of this episode is at 10:26. Was the first Worf shutdown of the episode.
We have so many Worf
There's
shutdowns.
So many moments.
So what do you mean
episode?
By a Worf
theme,
shutdown?
A so Worf in this episode is that the security officers are
Klingon.
Empowered with the ability to be brutal and tough and also very pig-headed and constantly wanting to beat people up all the time. And that's all they ever suggest is like, we should fucking fuck them up.
We should shoot all the
And everybody's
torpedoes.
Like, no, let's not do that.
You gotta
and it's
chill.
Like, well, why did you hire this person who's clearly unstable?
Yeah.
So they're all a bunch of George Zimmermans and they're just like going around constantly like, it seems like they're a threat and we should shoot everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, nope, we
like,
shouldn't do it.
Or
so
not.
This is the first moment on this episode.
I have more.
You have more. Well, let's just...
Oh, well, I
like
a,
this one because
this is good.
Helps me make a point.
In a sudden, abrupt power surge to high warp speed, Captain, we may be able to break loose from that Ferengi force field. I wish I knew what they were thinking over there.
Maybe use Deanna Troy. No. Okay.
They're wondering what we're going to do next.
I say fight, sir. There's nothing shameful in falling before a superior enemy.
And nothing shameful in a strategic retreat either.
All systems ready, Captain.
Boom. Shut
and
up.
Communication now
he just... And so...
Excellent.
And now he's
it
storming
wouldn't
off.
Be as bad if they wouldn't show him storming off.
This
like, it wouldn't be
thing.
So upsetting if he would just
right.
show him, like, I have a suggestion, and they're like, no, let's not do that. And then they just move on. But they have to show him having this,
because
like,
he's like, I wanted to do punching.
Childish reaction and leaving.
Same with, like, 1259. There's another moment with Worf. Like, the problem with Worf is
but
that
this one,
not
he
only
doesn't
is he
have the
irrational,
reaction.
But they shut him down immediately,
Always.
And then they cut back to him, and he's like...
He's
just
usually
like pouting.
He's so, like, frustrated.
Yeah. It's... And it's because they're writing really badly for him. And when they do start writing Worf-centric episodes, it gets really good when he has to react to his son, who is the worst character in all of television.
Yeah, his son comes and takes the worst place,
and
then he's
Oh. Good.
Yeah,
his son is the April Nardini of Star Trek.
Completely. And it's like if they didn't, they had trouble writing for Worf, so they just made an irritating thing for
look
him
at
to
this.
React to. And you're like, yeah, I get you, Worf. Yeah. He sucks. Okay. So this is when they're having their...
Because they were like, how will people like this character better? Make him a bad father?
Look.
While we still have some power left, it's time for difficult decisions. Opinions, please.
I say put all available power into a full-out combined phaser and photon torpedo salvo. Destroy their ability to sustain this force field, sir.
Yes. Hit them hard and hit them fast.
Fucking
impractical.
Rocks.
Impractical.
Shut down immediately.
And provoking.
No.
And then the extra head shake at the end. And provoking.
Ugh.
Also, he may as well be like, ugh.
To stay on Worf, he goes down to the planet where the energy is like crazy. And his
hair. You
mean
the house of intuition, the planet?
His house of intuition. That's really funny. So he goes down there and his hair is a mess the entire rest of the episode.
It's true. It's I like that they just didn't bot. Like, there's no touches on Worf. They're like, no touches on Worf.
He's like, can we get last looks?
I'm the most complicated.
Could we possibly get last looks? No one can come near me? yeah, it's amazing.
So they compare.
Also, this conference was so powerful.
I know.
I think it should be at conference con. I don't know. I love that they're, you normally when they go to this conference room, everybody sits down and it's like this really stagnant scene where they're all just like sitting around a table and going around one by one like a bad improv scene. Everybody's saying like, you know, I think we should fight them with our guns.
I love it.
Nah, next. And then
I love it.
And then Troy goes, I think we should see if we can feel anything. And they're like, nah. And then Riker says something like, and
something
like,
logical
from history books, and maybe says some French words, and then Captain Picard's like, I have a boner, and they do it. But here it's all like shot from different angles and shit, and
it's dynamic. They do another one later with Data explaining the Khan Empire or whatever.
And everybody loves this scene.
And it's so good. I mean, there's a planet in the middle. It's dynamic.
The
there are different levels. Like, they're laughing at Data. Data's like doing the Chinese puzzle.
Chinese finger puzzle, right?
Chinese finger puzzle. Which
you
he got
and
from
no one's ever known
where.
It by another name.
So. I started cracking up when we got to the scene where he just has his finger stuck in a fucking finger trap and he can't figure it out.
He's a super intelligent robot life form that is like unparalleled in terms of his like computation ability. And
Android.
And like, well, I guess that's supposed to be the joke, but.
It felt to me like it was something that the writers put in just to be like, this is to make you, the audience, feel smarter than a robot.
Maybe.
It was like a pandering sort of like.
Yeah, in case you've been freaked out in the first four episodes about how smart this guy is.
It's funny that perspective, because I always like, of course, if you follow the show, you're like, I love Data. It's about him trying to be human and understanding human, like those things that an android probably couldn't, like slang and sayings.
Yeah, and a
humor.
Running theme with Data is also he really is intrigued by humor. Like, he loves humor and he really wants to understand it. So that's like the comedic relief of this whole show is Data trying to be funny, and it doesn't ever work. And everybody's like, Data?
<You know>? Isn't there an episode? I was talking to my boyfriend about this, obviously. Isn't there an episode later on where
to tell you about Star Trek?
Where like Data, well, because I was just asking him, I was like, so is Data like 100% robot? And he was like, yes. I was like, he's not like part human or something? And he was like, no. And I was like, so why does he look confused on his face? Like, why is his face able
to...
Why would he register? And there's like a moment...
He was programmed, I guess.
But why?
Okay.
Let me step in
because a lot of guys don't understand how Data works. but he has a neural network that is, it's adaptive. So it's growing and expanding.
He can grow. Okay.
So as he learns things, I mean, he probably didn't say
and he's eventually going to learn how to do humor at some point, right?
He has an emotion chip.
Yeah,
that he can activate eventually later on in the series. Spoiler alert!
Why would you want that?
I know, but
he wants it.
But also, how can he want?
Gross way to say that.
Well, that's the thing. He has to want, I guess, for survival kind of like stuff. I guess in terms of Federation purposes, wanting is good.
He's curious. He does have like natural curiosity in terms of like he's an adaptive thinker.
But this is a good point.
He's constantly trying to get better at his job by learning about the people he works with, you know? So his whole thing is like, if I can understand humans more, like the reason he wants to be human is because that's the way that the programmer, his programmer, got him to be curious about humanity. You know what I mean? And he needs to be curious about humanity so he doesn't just hate humans and want to fucking kill
and
them all the time.
Shoots them.
Because that's what he would do.
Yeah.
I think. Because they're so frustrating and
stupid. Or he
would
just be like, I'll just follow your orders because that seems like really like simple and...
Well, it's harder with an AI that like learns as it goes, I guess. Then it,
and am I just like very intro to AI? Like,
well, no, like, it's logical, but it's like...
They explore things with this they do. That you're asking. And it makes sense. These questions are like really good because they...
We're just shuffling papers like, whoa, I don't have notes on this.
How are we going to answer this one?
Also, why does he have hair?
Oh my God. You're like James Comey.
I mean.
Wait, but Comey doesn't ask the questions. He gets like, asked the questions.
Okay, see again.
Shutting me down. Shuffling papers.
When is this going to be released? We don't know if he'll still be alive.
That's true. That's the point. Hey, get careful out there. Careful out there, homie. Yeah. Homie? Okay.
Homie.
I'm sorry. So, but it's true. You're asking good questions about Data, but I mean, I have a few theories about why they made Data the way he is. And he is the first AI character on, like, a recurring character on a TV show.
Really?
Yeah. And so his... The reason that I think that he's like so likable, or what's the word I'm looking for here, relatable in a way, like he was built to be a character on the show that has like I don't think this
we
is intentional
them,
but he
this.
Has a he has like a basically an autistic personality. Mm-hmm. So I mean, a lot of people on the autism spectrum really identify with Data. They're like, well, he nails what it's like to be like a human living with any kind of autism, because you're not.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here with huge news. We have a terrific episode of Office Hours Live prepared for you. We had the great stand-up comedian Kyle Kinane come in and a very special in-studio music session from legendary Mdou Mokhtar. You're not going to want to miss this one. You can find it on your podcast app of choice by going to Sears or Macy's and getting an iPod and then coming home, charging it up, and listening through your app.
You're not like just a robot doing stuff. You have like a ton of curiosity, but you don't have like your relationship
and
to
you're interacting.
Other people's emotions.
You don't have innate
really
skills
not,
that
yeah.
people expect of you.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
you have to like learn.
And you're endlessly like intrigued by everything.
And
like
remember,
things don't have like a they don't upset you
right.
or make you angry.
It's
they
a
just, unless,
plain
you
know, fact. Factual curiosity about things. Also, remember, this is before iPads, before iPhones, before any of the like smart phones or technology. So a lot of this character brought forth a lot of different questions about artificial intelligence
right.
that they explored later in the show. And like there's a trial about him, like what is his status as
yeah.
a being.
And he's like, and the computer and Data work as like traveling like Siri, you know?
Yeah.
Like the computer that you can just ask questions to and work with all the time, but then has like this response.
Computer hasn't
she will
come through yet.
Computer will be a character.
Oh, and also the holodeck.
The characters in the holodeck also.
Yeah.
We didn't do any holodeck this episode.
Not yet.
Also, okay, and so this is another question that like maybe I should just already know the answer to, but
no,
like,
no, ask away, please.
I was very surprised when like the power got shut off and everyone started getting cold. I was like, who the fuck are all these people?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that there were people other than the crew on the ship.
Often, well, they're crew's families.
Understandable. Oh. So there's a crew of, I'm just going to throw out a random number, 2,500 people on board.
Oh, shit.
The Enterprise, it's a really big ship.
Totally yeah. made up.
Yeah, completely made it up. And this is at this point, now that I've
Let's
put the open call for
really,
fans to
really,
correct
yeah,
us,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
blazing.
Oh, please come and correct it.
Fact-free statements.
Yeah, yeah.
And making up my own fake news.
It's the juice
but
of life.
There's a huge crew. There's like it's think of it as like a huge like a battleship or something. And there's like people. There's another episode that I love, one of my favorites, called Lower Decks, where they just go into the lives of like some of the people you never see that are extras roaming around on the ship and
oh,
like see
extras.
What their lives are like. And they're always and they're like trying to prove it to Riker and stuff and get recognized. You know, they're like open micers, you know, like the equivalent of our lives, open micers, those pearls. Yeah. No, but there's, yeah, so there's a huge, huge, and there's like kids on the ship. There's like a daycare and a school. And like,
Speaking of kids,
who the fuck are those
Matthew
kids?
And Pola?
They
Matthew right? and Pola? Get out of here.
I was going to ask you.
Matthew and Pola, come on. This is off limits.
It sounds like a band. So hi, we're Matthew and Pola.
What are those kids doing in the conference room? Like, what?
Oh, because everyone's
freezing.
Why
does Riker know them?
No, but this is before they start freezing.
Did not follow this episode.
Well, no, but you would not be like, if you weren't had never seen an episode before, like your ears wouldn't perk up at two random children
just playing with the shelves, and then Riker comes in and says, Matthew, Pola, you know this is off limits, and then Picard runs into them. Picard does not like kids, and that's been established
early.
Oh yeah,
he's French.
That came across.
He's French and proud to be French, and he doesn't like it. So the kids leave, and then Riker goes, "Boys will be boys."
And I wonder if those two things. Why does, here's a question.
What
query?
Yes.
So I wonder if Picard was so this is my theory. Picard is so dynamic and like
perfect
magnetic as a person and character, mm-hmm. that they had to write in things like he's into being French, he hates kids, like stuff to make him less.
I was thinking that in the less heart.
Just alluring
on my way here.
A winner through
but then
and through.
Also like those things are also the things that like as a woman you're like mad that you're attracted to. It's like, oh, he hates kids and he's like really pretentious, like tell me more.
You're yes, mad yeah. about I'm like, oh my god, me too.
Yeah.
It's also like that was a discussion, for example, with Rey in The Force Awakens, how a lot of people criticize that character for being a little too perfect, like there's mm-hmm. no flaws at all. I mean, I was happy to see
Awakens?
The Force Awakens is Star Wars.
Fans are getting so mad
and
it's like
The Force Awakens
driving
you know,
off the road.
It's like the 12th movie or something yeah. of Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not a Warzy. Is that what you guys call yourselves?
A Warzy. I am a Warzy.
That's the trope is called a Mary Sue, right?
A Mary Sue, perfect hero.
Like a perfect female character.
Oh, okay.
Who's like not flawed or interesting.
Okay. Mm.
But I don't know if
I'm gonna fact check you.
I didn't see that movie, and I saw a lot of pushback on that.
I didn't agree with that.
Most people didn't agree with that. I thought that was like a misogynistic like.
It's just bullshit. It's just like trying to find something to find something.
A misogynistic response to a powerful female character. Where was
I?
I
know! Uncharted territory!
that's kind of a hot take, actually.
So putting aside the fact that this kind of makes no sense, this episode had a lot of moments where they bond as a crew. Ooh. And it's probably the first time we're seeing them all go into the conference room, which they do for the rest of the show. Yeah. Or where they, as an away team, they...
Is it? They
I think
didn't
so.
Do
I haven't seen the conference.
On, they might have done one on...
Naked Now. Naked Now?
Yeah. I think they did do one on Naked
we'll
Now.
We'll see. I don't... So
we have to go back and cover
we have
an
to go back, but
missed.
Feel free to correct me. Who cares? So it's the first time they do a conference.
Right. Conference
that I know. And so there's a lot of like a LaForge and Riker bond downstairs where the in engineering.
Yes. Which is a good time to do a LaForge pain check-in. Another thing that was established in the first few episodes is that, or actually in the first episode, is that Geordi LaForge, who is LeVar Burton
yeah.
wearing the
visor,
is in constant pain. And
they never acknowledge
never,
it again.
Never acknowledge really? It. Like, it's something they wrote in for some reason and then never
the
address
episode.
Again. So if you choose to, you can view the entire series with the knowledge that he's in a migraine.
And we're...
He's inside of a migraine.
Oh my God. It's our mission to not let people forget that he's in pain.
So yeah. as he's, like, getting jazzed about the idea that Riker weirdly has,
yeah.
which Riker would not have that idea.
Riker
at all.
Like
I'm so
goes
annoyed by that
and leans into like this like into the core. And
Riker
then
seems to get a lot more powerful when he gets close to the core. And he's like his mind just starts working better.
So like, wait, what is his brilliant idea?
It's something I don't know. It's something with like moving the ship back a few feet or something.
So basically,
and then it like slingshots away. And then Geordi's like, yeah, that was so fucking right.
He gets like pumped up. But look, there's like love between the bros.
They do bro out.
There's a lot of broing out. Like, so Picard records the transmission And then he looks back to Riker to see if it's good. And Riker goes, yeah. And he goes, okay. And transmission. There's a lot of like bro love. Yeah,
there
is.
There's a lot of bromance established, being established, which is, you know, important.
Also, Picard curses in French.
Oh, we got to stop for a second.
He says mierda, basically.
In French.
In French, yeah.
If you're at home and you're a Spanish-speaking listener and you haven't heard a word we've said.
And then they hear mierda. Mierda.
It means meld in French. So you're welcome. We're going to pause for 1 second.
Yes, I need glasses and I am not ashamed. I have a sexy young man who loves to fuck me and I'm fabulous.
Maybe you have glasses and you're ashamed, but you shouldn't be because Geordi's got that weird visor thing that he wears and he's not ashamed, but he is in deep, uncontrollable pain. Listen, these two things might not seem related, but if you listen to our show, you know that they sort of are. And that's why we really want to connect with you because we're going crazy in a room by ourselves. Please connect with us on and tweet us photos of yourself at Trex Fashion wearing your various Trex stuff or not. And we might post it on our Trex Instagram, which is at Trex Fashion as well, because we want to connect with you. We want to see your outfits. We want to talk about what are we wearing this season? How are we dealing with this climate changing? And, you know, how are we getting spacey with that shit? Do you know what I'm saying? So connect with us. Subscribe to us. Be us. Be us. Find a way to be us. Do you know what I mean? I hope you do, because I don't. I'm going crazy by myself in a room. It's like that episode when that happened. Okay, so Emily just said a thing about Ferengi.
We were just talking about how they're like dancing every time you see them, and they're just sort of like shimming. And I actually really like that, because I have a problem with humanoid characters who just act like people and have nothing about them that are like not human.
Right.
And you're like, so why are we even exploring this premise?
Right.
To see other different humans dressed differently.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, fuck, your bodies are just dancing all the time.
They're moving sort of like babies. Like, you know how babies... I found out babies are moving like constantly and they're burning like so many calories because just, if you look at a baby, they're just like constantly, they're like shaking all the time and like moving around.
They're like
a shark. They never stop moving. Yeah. They're like sharks, babies, sharks. That's just one of many parallels.
So when they first established the Ferengi, these are guys with big ears and they don't say anything here, but they like can't stand that noise downstairs in the planet. They're like,
I love that you call the planet downstairs.
Downstairs. I'm always like downstairs, upstairs.
That's going to be something that you have to keep saying.
Yeah,
I like that the upstairs downstairs dynamic on this show is not between like the family and the help, but between the ship and the
surface
aliens.
Of a planet. Yeah. So there's a scene where they're looking at they finally see the Ferengi on the viewing screen. The guy finally decides to show his face, and it's gigantic.
He is so large.
And by the way,
so just zoom in.
As a side note, the actor who plays the main Ferengi guy is a guy named Armin Shimerman, who...
I wish somebody here had met him.
I mean, it's funny that you say that, because he was actually maybe one of my first celebrity meetings.
What?
My sister was in a production of King Lear with him in 2005 at the La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego. And I went down to go see it. I stayed with her for like a night or two. And like, he told me an amazing story about when he was in a high school production of The Crucible at his high school, which I also have not seen. And his like...
You're not familiar with his high school.
Well, no, I mean, like, I haven't seen The Crucible ever. Okay. But I take his word for it that this thing happens in the play where it ends with like, he played the main character. And at the end, the main character like walks to his death. Ooh. Right. And he had like, he was playing that character. And it was in like the gym at his high school, and up in the bleachers was like his family, and like his grandma came in and to see the play. And as he's like slowly, dramatically, like walking toward the bleachers to his death, his grandma leans over and goes, "I came all this way. You can't say hello."
Oh my God. Wow.
And so I was just, that's all I was thinking about when I was watching him on screen with his like weird pointy teeth and stuff.
Oh. So that's the actor that was on the viewing screen.
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's like the main.
What is his name?
Tar Damon of the Ferengi.
Damien.
Let me make sure that that's Damien. <true. laughs>
Damien. I like that our guest has to fact. Like, be the person who's researching.
Fact checking.
Yeah, yeah, Google that, please.
Oh, wait, no, you know what? I'm wrong. He played Cork.
Oh, Cork is huge.
Well, this is what I was saying. Like, that's what Cork, I thought it
but
was.
But he was in this episode.
He
yeah,
was?
Yeah, he's yeah, because I saw his he's name
the,
on screen.
So he's the first Ferengi, and then he plays a Ferengi forever.
He's so good at it.
He's so good.
So he basically, like, created the Ferengi.
The Ferengi.
Mannerism.
Yeah, Human. It's him.
Human.
Yeah, Human. Is his.
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of the Ferengi.
I love them.
I like the they use. I think the kudos goes to whoever's decision it was to make their face really gigantic on the screen, because it does, again, like Emily's saying, it establishes that like this is an alien race. Like we don't. Yeah. There's no reason we should think that like a shoulders up distance from the camera is the appropriate amount of distance in that society. You know,
well,
like
yeah. I also just feel like there's like an element of projection and arrogance in making all non-human characters completely human in all the ways that we want to. Yeah. And I feel like it's like people don't understand how much they're revealing about themselves when they decide how
exactly
human-like aliens are going to
behave.
Well,
I think what if you watch the rest of this show, what you is revealed about the creators of Star Trek is that they had too many aliens that they had to make. So at a certain point, it was like, just go wild. Paint a stripe down the front of their face. I don't know what you're going to do. Put studs on their back. Like, it's just,
I just looked up his Wikipedia page or his IMDb page, and he played Quark. He also played Damon Bractor.
Yeah, amazing. He did.
And he also played Gift Box Face, which is a character that appears later on, and LaTeX.
Gift Box Face?
Yeah, which
that's so weird.
I'm assuming is from a Christmas episode.
Okay, that's really weird because I was just watching America's Next Top Model season 22, and there's a guy on it who has five different model management companies that he works with, and he's complaining because he's like, I'm just so sick of being a box on the shelf. That's what he was saying was his metaphor for what he's like. I just don't want to be a box on the shelf anymore. And I think his name was like Damien or something.
So oh, my
like
God.
Crazy. So if you think about the parallels.
Yeah.
And you want to tell me God's not real? Do you know what I mean? All right.
See, for me, I'm like the Illuminati's not real because that sounds more like the Illuminati than
that's
God.
That's my higher power.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we talked about and then. I like the Ferengi phasers. I think that the weapons that the Ferengi use are really cool.
They're very Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they are.
Lasso.
A lasso that you like do. It seems like an extra amount of effort and super like not. But then it seems like it's like a heat seeking.
They also look like pool floaties.
They do look like pool floaties.
They're like these blue sort of like double dildos tubes. That they like whip around and then electricity comes out of them.
And you know, which is what happens with mine if it's working properly.
It goes
hello Samantha Jones of this podcast.
So this episode again for like a moment touch and go talk about females. Like I know the Ferengi has very specific rules, like their females are supposed to be naked the entire time.
I have this moment at 32 minutes in
32
where they talk they're talking to the Wizard of Oz about
the Wizard of Oz. That's what I wrote. Look.
Tukan,
Native American,
literally
Oz.
What it is. They're talking to the Wizard of Oz about like what. For some reason, they like let it spill that their opinions on like women having to wear clothing, and the way they say it is so bitchy, love it so much.
It will be a huge thing in DS9 when, Quark and Rom's mother is a merchant.
Rom's mother? Who's Rom? Oh,
Rom and Quark.
Oh,
then
okay.
DS9.
Okay.
Good.
There's Tasha Yar. She's just
You've
shown
heard
up.
Of phasers. Now over there.
So this is the fight scene where the phaser, for some reason, they're so afraid of it that they drop their amazing weapons.
A human female LaTeX? It's true. You work with your females, arm them, and force them to wear clothing.
Oh my God. Now that I know it's him, it's clearly Quark.
Sickening.
I love that they say sickening. It's like sort of like if you view it within today's slang, it's a little bit like
So this scene, they talk about women stuff again.
Okay, wait 1 second. I just want to say, can you pause it for a second? I just want to point out that he said sickening. Nobody else knew again.
I think it's hilarious.
You force them to wear clothing. Sickening.
Free the nipple. Free the nipple.
Love it. Okay.
So this scene, they also do like, she's like, I was thinking of putting Wesley to sleep. And he's like, he should face death awake. And then he goes, is that a male perspective? And he goes, rubbish. Do you know?
Yeah, it was so, so awkward.
I didn't miss that.
It was such an awkward interaction where he's saying, and yeah.
She's going to kill her son.
He's going to put him down.
Is there anything else we can do, Doctor? Where's Wesley?
He's in our quarters. I was tempted to give him a sedative.
You shouldn't.
I know, but he's my son. I love him.
He has the right to meet death awake.
Is that a male perspective?
Rubbish.
What?
What does that mean?
It's what does so any strange. Of it mean?
I wonder if rubbish was an improv.
And why does that, is that a male perspective?
Why would you even ask that? I guess you're cold. Think about how cold you are.
But who wrote it?
Yeah. So,
you know, when you're cold and everything seems like a male perspective.
She's saying that facing death is a male perspective, or the of letting a like son being like face all death.
Like making him. I think she's saying I was going to give, I was tempted to give him a sedative so that like he's at least like asleep. Unconscious when he freezes to death.
Uh-huh.
And he's like
checks. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is humane.
That tracks.
Yeah. Humane. Yeah.
And then he says, no, he should be awake to face his own death. And she goes, is that a male perspective? Like, because
if
she's
like,
if we
make it out of this, you're not babysitting.
Cause yeah, she's just like, is it a man's, is that what, how because men feel about death?
Because he's cold.
I'm like a nice person and I would think maybe he wouldn't want to like face the horror and the agony of freezing to death consciously.
And then he goes, rubbish.
Yeah.
Which is, but her question makes no sense
Wait,
to me.
Maybe he just was
why
looking.
Why doesn't her question make sense to you?
Because like, why is that a male thing?
Well, because.
Because she's like, because
she
he's being
said.
An asshole and
what
men are assholes. Said.
Well, that's, you know, that's true.
Yeah.
She's being delicate about saying like, hey, fuck you. So her fuck you is, oh, you're being a dude right now? You're going to be a dude about my son dying?
I wish she would have asked it like that.
I wish so too, but they were cold, remember? And I think maybe so when he says saving. Rubbish, he's actually, he looks, if you look in the camera, he looks off. So maybe he just sees some garbage.
Maybe he's saying like, oh, crap.
I just like, I feel like,
like, you
actually,
know what I mean? Like, yeah, rubbish.
I actually agree with him. I feel like everyone should have the right to face death as they wish.
Yeah, but then where is Wesley? Can we ask him what he wants to do?
Oh, Wesley was not in this episode. He was too busy being cold in his own room.
Well, but that's like, that's the thing is, it's unclear to me whether he's like, I want to be awake and face death.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're, it doesn't make. It was clear that that's his, that would be his choice.
Knowing Wesley, he probably would, because he'd be like curious.
Isn't he
about
a, he's a child?
Awake.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. But he's like a, he's a prodigy. He's I can't believe you didn't get to meet Wesley.
He would be awake. He would be awake. I think he. I mean, I agree with Picard. So when she asks if that's a male thing, I'm like, well, is it a mother instinct thing?
I think,
versus like,
I think you take issue with it because you would want to face death. Awake.
I would want to face death, and I would let my child face that death as
awake.
They.
And it's a Verica. It's a Verica.
Unless
it's a
they ask for it.
Perspective.
Yeah. So I was one. Like it was weird for me to for her to define that as male.
It would be cool if she was like, "Is that a male perspective?" And he was like, "Fuck yeah!"
It felt misogynistic of the writers for her to ask that question. Is what I'm saying, because it's her being like simplifying something. I don't know. And then they do it back to back with like the female Ferengi thing. So they touch and go with the feminism thing.
I do think that it is like, as much as the show seems to be trying to say like this female, traditionally female characteristic of like nurturing is something valuable that we shouldn't like denigrate. But at the same time, they're still assigning these values along gender lines.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that you're kind of like, well, you are gender essentializing at the same time.
That's
that you're
what I
trying
mean.
To redeem female characteristics that you think need redeeming.
Thank you.
I think
for
that Star Trek
it better.
Next Generation grapples with gender identity issues as eloquently and efficiently as just Twitter as a whole. You know, it's like some of it's great, some of it's, you know.
It also seems like 1987. Troy and Data are like the gender poles.
Yes. Well, Tasha and no, because like Beverly provides a gender pole to Picard. Like she's kind of the doctor that Wesley's mom.
They have a sexy moment.
They have
they
have a sexy moment. And I'm so here for it, by the way.
She touches his neck. She touches like
his
that.
Neck. Bam. And she's like, Jean. I mean, Captain.
And he's looking at her like, dang.
Yeah, they really have it.
They
going
have
on.
It. Yeah, that's attention.
He's really hot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you didn't. Okay, so we're going to have you back because there are episodes where he wears his pajamas, which are a deep V.
My lord.
Like down to his
like
belly
hairy
button.
Chest.
Like wiener hanging over the top of it.
Just hanging over the top. Just, you know, just getting comfy.
All right.
Riker also shows all of his chest hair. I am a Riker,
she's a Riker
woman.
She's a Riker stan.
I'm a Riker woman.
I used to be. I went from Wesley when I was of age watching the show and he was my age.
Okay.
And then I went from him to Data for a really long time. It's really hot for
so
Data.
Weird.
And then Riker. I mean Picard. Sorry. Not Riker.
I feel like
I never
that's
went to
you never went to Riker.
No. I feel like those are the phases that all women go through.
Thank you.
It's like you start with like the genius.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, I want like a cold.
A cold, emotionless.
Emotionless.
I don't want the genius. Yeah. I want just.
Yeah.
Just
you're
be,
like you go through cycles of like,
weirdly meek. And then you just like, I just want a guy who knows himself.
Yeah. I just want an older man who like has it together.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Something loves like France, that. Hates kids. Boom. Got it.
Also, like,
sign me up.
He gets so. So there are several moments in this episode where they scream at each other. Like, so he goes, that's enough, Data. When he starts like naming the flags.
Is that when they're getting. Oh, yeah. They haven't even gotten cold yet.
And before that, yelling. Riker also goes, where does he go? Data's talking about this, like, how Ferengi work. You know, they're basically capitalists.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and they're
this the
like
Yankee traitors moment.
Yankee traitors. And he's like, he just says something like, what do you mean? Like, he just like goes, Riker screams suddenly. I don't know if you've noticed this about the show.
No.
But he suddenly like screams a question or a statement. It's like a
weird.
Yeah,
he gets irate really quickly. And you're like, I wonder if it's because it's like the too many takes in or you know what I mean, or he's like, I'm sick of doing this scene,
gets a burst of energy.
I'm allergic to dry ice.
Yes.
How long do I have to
when's,
do this fucking
just substitute what he's saying for when's lunch.
You and I both have a same moment written down here.
Yeah, so when they finally get to the surface of the planet, which is called I'm gonna do I have an idea for a future segment here, so
it's
a
Takan.
Is the name of the planet is Takan?
The last outpost of the Takan Empire. I don't know what the planet is called.
Okay,
it's a class M.
Does somebody at home want to find out the name of the planet and write into me in a bitchy way about it?
We could Google it, but we don't want to.
Fuck no.
Okay, so this moment when he's alone. Yeah.
So, so this is Riker.
They beam.
Trying to find, after they've beamed down to the surface of the planet, which is, I call a house of intuition. The planet.
They beam out five. The away team is five members, but
and then
only
three
Riker
Ferengi
shows up.
That are also there that they're
scientists,
looking for. So he's
supposedly
standing next to a giant crystal. Look at that.
Anybody?
So sexy.
Made me LMO when I watched it the first time.
Anybody?
I find that so sexy. I am so.
I don't get that.
Sorry.
Just for 1 second sidebar go into why you think that's sexy?
Why anybody? I don't know.
Is it the word anybody or is it just him yelling?
I think I like his bursts of energy when he like.
Because it seems like he's coming.
Yep.
I never thought about it like that, but I'll have to think about this.
I need you too.
But it's more like a livelihood he has. So. I don't know.
Livelihood.
He's just
livelihood
like,
is someone's occupation.
I know. Now I'm realizing, but he's got like a Riker has a center. Like he's very like I don't know how to explain it.
Can you? Maybe this will work. Say it in Spanish.
Como que no sé. Porque como que no, I don't know. Because it's sometimes like Spanish helps me clarify some thoughts, but sometimes I'm
that's
like
what I was hoping, and then I would be of use.
He just got a center. He's like nailed on the ground, but he's like he easily
centered.
Can like fly. You know what I mean? He's sitting centered, like he's heavy, oof, but like,
I don't know. Centered is the word you're looking for. I think that makes it clear to me what you mean. He's like feet on the ground.
But is it a confidence to be the kind of guy who would yell the word anybody?
Is
on a set?
Anybody? Like, it's so cool. I don't know. I've never.
Like he's like, vulnerable.
I've never screamed anybody when I can't find people.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm never. I'm always like.
You
someone?
Scream hello.
Hello.
You scream hello. I know. Yeah. Anybody is.
Anybody is so like definitive
because I can see it on the page.
It's like I am about to give up, but he doesn't have desperation on his
exactly.
face.
Exactly. No, see just, what I mean?
See, I thought that was bad acting.
It's both.
Me too. You're reading nuance where I'm reading.
It's part of the progress of his line on the page. As an actor, I'm reading. Yar, Data, anybody, you know,
yeah.
It's so it would be Yar, Data, anybody, he, he's like,
so, see,
Yar,
but he,
Data, anybody.
He read it like that. That's like, I see like if so many things that he says, if you see
like
it on
somebody
the page,
just shows up a new crew member
you would
named
read
anybody,
it totally different.
Yeah,
than
if I was reading
would.
For that role.
Yeah, you'd be like, anybody.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How would you say it?
Anybody?
Exactly.
Pilot! Right in the camera.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Shrugging. We need you to stop spiking the lens for that moment. Okay. Could you put some dry ice between me and the lens? Because it's really hard to avoid.
So moments that I really, really love that the Wizard of Oz goes from like a test to like, oh, yeah, tell me more about that. Yeah, and they're, like, walking in college campus.
Yeah, and then the Ferengi are just standing there, like...
The Ferengi are just, like...
Which, by the way, the Wizard of Oz looks exactly like this animatronic Halloween witch that my family used to put in the window every year that had this, like, gray wig that could slide off the head. So if it's, like, he looks like that animatronic Halloween witch with the wig slid, like, back on his head, kind of.
He needed a pen.
That's so, that explains so much. Of,
she
like,
had, so funny.
She had a candle in one hand and a pumpkin in another, and they would just sort of, like, cross a little bit, like, her arms would just go side to side.
Ooh,
and her head would do that. Yeah.
This is haunting.
Several moving parts.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back in October because I feel like you get really just boiled down to your essence during that time. There's a moment with the Wizard of Oz where, well, okay, so what, to summarize for anybody at home who is not going to watch this episode, kudos to you for using your time wisely. But there is a moment when they go down the surface, they have a fight with the Ferengi, then the Ferengi try to trick the Wizard of Oz into being on their side by being like, wow, we believe your empire hasn't fallen. And the guy's basically like, hey, I just woke up. What's been going on for 6 billion years
and Riker
or whatever?
Explains it to
and him. Riker and Data are like, dude, you've been asleep for so long. He's like, that's not possible. And then, so he's very obstinate. Right. Mm-hmm, and then the mm-hmm. Ferengi are like, yeah, they're wrong. We're here to serve you. So don't worry about that. Also, shouldn't women be naked all the time? And then the guy's like, I'm going to challenge Riker to a test. Why he chooses
also,
Riker, I have no idea.
Also, Worf goes, let me fight.
And it's Riker like, goes, it's battle. I want to do it. And,
no.
And Riker, who specifically asked Worf down to the planet to fight on his behalf,
I swear.
Says no.
I swear.
It's an order. And then he just like puts an axe next to his head, is impressed by that, and then asks him a question that of the answer to which he already knows that he's going to know because it was something to do
it's
with
it's basically bar
so
trivia.
Powerful. It's bar
and
trivia.
And he happened to have just been reading that book.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's like great. And but then why does the guy go from being like, I've not been asleep for 6 billion years to being like, oh, I guess I have. Wow, you guys are rats.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's walk and talk with me.
Can we do a walk and talk?
Walk
and then
and, talk.
And then they're like, so anyway, you passed a morality test because morality and ethics are like really important to us. Should we nuke these other dudes? Like they just ask if they should destroy the Ferengi.
And he's like, no, they have yet to learn.
Then what would they learn? Okay.
And
all right.
That was nice. I love this. Okay, that
also,
part
yeah,
made
wait.
No sense. That made no sense.
Because what would they learn? It's like, yeah, we wouldn't be killing them to teach them a lesson. It would be to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what?
That's like not an answer to that
question.
Yeah,
that's true. I guess because if you want to kill somebody, you're like, well, I don't want them to learn anything. That's
yeah,
why
I want them to cease all function.
That's a Federation.
You are
that's
such
a Federation thing.
A complete Trekker in the making. I don't make it happen.
They did.
I only have problems,
here.
Though.
Picard talks about that thing. The annihilation. I don't know how to say that word.
Annihilation.
Annihilation is like the one answer that they can't. It's like, it's even, I think it. Prime Directive plus. Because they just don't want you're like done. No, they don't want that to ever happen. But I like their revenge that they eventually did do, and I thought it was funny, like team building.
Oh, they just exercise. Sent him a bunch of finger puzzles,
Chinese finger puzzles.
They were like, yes, send them a crate of Chinese finger puzzles, and it's like,
do
it's
these
not-
have any value? Who is that?
That's a Ferengi. No, oh, yeah. Nobody. No. All right,
we're gonna work on it. Impressions are gonna get good.
My Troy is on fucking point.
When Riker asks Picard for Worf, he's like, "Can you spare Worf?" Mm-hmm. As if it's like expended. Like,
yeah, as if Worf is ever doing anything of use on the bridge at all, besides suggesting that they bomb everyone.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if we can let him go. We're gonna have to need him. We're gonna need him around. He might have
also some
ideas about random bombs to shoot out.
Maybe it's a language thing, but it sounded to me like, can you do without Worf, like, in general? Like, can we, like, put him in the front lines so he can get killed?
I wonder if this was, like, the actor was being kind of difficult and they put that in the script to be like, we could get rid of you. As, like, a threat.
I don't think they could get rid of it. Well, they'd have to replace Worf. Well, they could get rid of anybody, really, at this point.
I mean,
they maybe didn't. They probably signed contracts for, like, 28
episodes.
Also,
it is, like, you could just put anyone else in that, like, weird forehead thing, and you'd be
like,
oh, it's Worf.
You would need a Klingon.
I mean, it's,
but
like,
the reason that Worf sucks isn't Michael Dorn's fault.
Yeah.
It's because they can't write for a character who's aggressive. They're just, like, confused
it's
by
like,
it.
It's, like, yeah, episode 4, and they're already, like, we don't know what to do with these characters.
Yeah.
And it's, like, just fucking spend a couple extra days in the writer's room before you send it off to production. Like, what are you doing? Just spend a couple days on, like, what makes these characters useful. You have
exactly.
not figured out a balance. Like, that should be easier to start with than...
I think I've discovered why you have so many problems with this show. We have gotten to the bottom of it. My favorite, this is the thing that I kept forgetting before that I was going to talk about. It's just my favorite thing about the Ferengi is that they open every communication with insulting the people that they're looking at, which is like, I love that they're just like, oh, you're still ugly. Like every time that they look at, they're like,
I love
the
Ferengi.
I love them. Shocking, which is weird because their whole thing is to be like salesmen and like selling stuff. So I was thinking it sort of equated with like shopping at Beegan's Closet. You know, where they just like throw you, you walk into one of those fancy stores or whatever, and they just throw you shade immediately. You know what I mean? And they're like, that's their way of getting,
them.
They're negging them.
Oh, those guys are all Ferengi. Yeah.
Yeah, they're
sure.
all Ferengi.
Yeah.
I have a friend who cuts hair, and she definitely has gotten me to hire her multiple times by being like, can I fix your hair?
Ugh. Brutal, but it works.
It works.
Is she Ferengi? Ask her.
She is.
No.
Ask her. What if she's like, you found out? But it's clear, it's obvious that she is when you look at her. She's got the most insane ears and her hair is only sort of covering it. We're like, wow, Emily, you really should have known.
So
I watched this episode like, oh, fuck!
Just something you weren't going to say anything about.
Wait,
does she work at Rudy's? I'm just kidding.
No.
Oh my goodness. I used to go there.
Yeah, too many Ferengis.
Yeah, too many Ferengis. It's true. So I wanted to point out a couple things, even though we're like at the end of the episode.
We're almost at the end. We have a couple, yeah.
So at the beginning, when they see the Ferengi ship, Picard goes like, fully enlarge. And then they just like zoom in like 20%.
Yeah.
I thought that was like silly. Geordi is still on the bridge and he's wearing red, which will change eventually.
Yeah, I am confused by that because red is the command.
Command. And he's also like on the bridge, but then he's downstairs in engineering.
They haven't figured out what to do with. Yeah.
They have to figure out. But I know that everyone hates this episode, but I think this was probably the first one that I was like, damn, okay, this is going to get good. And I think it had to do with politics and how centered things are. Like Picard is like patience. And then Riker is like, one second, let me talk to the guy, to Wizard of Oz, which is like what defines...
They're finding their footing with certain
the Federation
characters.
As a personality.
It was like your first chance to get like a bunch of different perspectives and kind of flesh out. Yeah. I think I gave myself a disadvantage watching this episode by not watching the ones that came before it. Mm-hmm. Because
we referenced them so much.
Well, but also like just watching it, like I gave myself the wrong... like, I just assumed that it was part of a formula where every mm-hmm. episode they, like, meet a new ship and then just debate what to do about it for, like, half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they have moral conundrums. Is that
a thing? Yeah, I was just like, is this the show?
No.
But I guess it's not.
No, every not episode really. Is well, if friends. You, and I think they handled it poorly, but I think the conceit of this episode is that there's a ancient booby trap, like, set up in space. In
oh
this,
my god,
in this,
the Chinese finger puzzle is a
yeah. exactly.
It could have
a metaphor.
Right?
But I think they use stuff like that all
and
the
it
time.
Is, and it is a metaphor, but they just fumbled it. You know, yeah. like they had it all there, but they just didn't put all the pieces together.
They
properly.
Find it later,
but eventually they do find those.
Yeah, like Encounter of Farpoint yeah. Is an episode where like some people
which is
are
the first episode.
With a planet full of energy are stealing are like keeping being enslaved, right? Yeah. So the people on that planet look like they have no energy. They look sick. And that's still like a four
and that's a metaphor.
Yeah, like a metaphor or like a way to tell the audience the future in a way. That
it's foreshadowing.
It's foreshadowing. Thank you.
Like what they're trying to, they're trying at.
They foreshadow a lot in a very smart way.
We like. I made a terrible baseball metaphor last episode where what was it? They were like, they're not hitting the ball. They're not striking out really even at all. They're not walking, but they're like at least at the plate right now.
They're there.
They're showed up to the plate.
Yeah.
Whereas other shows,
they're playing
you know,
their
on the
walk
bench.
On music.
They're playing
and
their walk on music,
and they're owning it.
Their cleats are laced up,
wearing the uniforms.
Good. They're actually holding a bat.
They got the bat,
which is nice.
And then Elva, eventually they'll swing. But this is like at least they'll get there.
This is a starter app.
It is a starter, but I think the main thing that I take away from it is that the team is building and the relationships. Between them are getting a little more casual, a little stronger, and more like trusting of each other.
Right.
Which is fundamental for future episodes.
And we'll have to check in next week to see if Wesley actually died.
So I want to ask you something.
Yes.
Do you think you'll ever go back and watch more?
Okay. We'll ask her to come back. So
you know what's interesting is...
We're going to make you, but on your own.
I probably will, not because I enjoyed it, but because I'm unemployed and I just finished Cheers.
Good.
And what else am I going to do?
I mean,
you should. Okay. Did you watch Buffy?
Oh, I haven't watched Buffy. Is that on Netflix, though?
Fuck. It's on Hulu. Do you have Hulu Plus?
I do have Hulu Plus, but also...
Do Star Trek.
Commercials are kind of a problem.
I pay for the new
also,
commercials.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
It's like I'm using my old roommate's... I should just have an account
why
at this point.
You can write it off.
Yeah.
You're a tax-paying Democrat.
Yeah. I'm a tax-avoiding Democrat.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to pay taxes in this administration. Are you fucking kidding me?
I would say...
just give all that money directly to charity.
I'm like, can I pay only into the FBI?
Is there a way for me to... I've been Venmoing the FBI every quarterly. That's what I've been doing.
What's our Venmo account?
It's like... FB underscore I. I've been Venmoing female body inspector. I hope that that's going to the right place. I hope so. All right. Are we good?
Yeah. This is the end of the episode 105.
Of the episode 105.
So much for
thank
coming.
Thank you, Emily Hella.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me.
Oh, wait. Can we find you somewhere?
Where on the internet?
This is August.
I'm on the internet. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller on all platforms. I have a podcast called Baby Geniuses.
Woo. Oh, you might want to take a listen to that podcast.
Yeah,
I've performed on it.
You've performed on it. Yeah.
I've paneled on it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to plug in August?
In August? Ooh.
It'll be late August.
In late August. I am generally on tour right now, so check out my website for tour dates and things like that. Like in mid-August, I'm going to be in Toronto, but this is probably coming out after that. But then I'm doing
in Toronto when I'm gone.
Yeah, I know, I'm mad. And then I'm doing
the torch.
I'm doing Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington at the
end
of September.
You are gonna. Have you been there before?
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait to do it. I've only done a one-nighter there. I'm excited to do a weekend. Okay. Oh, and then I'm also doing a week of shows at the Amphibian Stage in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. Now I'm just getting jealous of all the time you're doing. So, okay. All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh,
so
this
much
was an amazing
me.
Ep, and you're an amazing woman, and
thank
so
you.
Are you.
Thank you.
Veronica.
You too.
May the fourth.
May the fart.
May the fourth.
No, it's live long and prosper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Prosper.
Prosper.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.